Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
On Human Rights Day, 1999, we draw attention to America's violation of such rights in its prisons, Michigan prisoners protest conditions.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
December 10th, 1999 marked 51 years of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, adopted without dissent on December 10th, 1948 by the General Assembly of the United Nations. This document supposedly guarantees everyone in the world the right to freedom from oppression and torture, access to education, freedom of expression, and the right to life and liberty. It also guarantees the right to private property and other bourgeois rights that are fundamental to capitalism and that make it impossible to achieve equality for all people of the world. MIM highlights the following accomplishments of the United States to celebrate this anniversary and to demonstrate that the system of capitalism is incompatible with universal human rights. By 1996, U.S. spending on prisons had surpassed U.S. spending on colleges. As of early 1998, there were more than 13,000 political detainees seeking asylum in U.S. prisons. The U.S. is one of five countries with the death penalty against juveniles. There are 5.5 million U.S. adults under control of the U.S. prison system. One out of nine U.S. children have one or both parents in prison. Even though more than half of crack users are white, 88% of those sentenced for crack are black, and 4% are white. Black political leader Mumia Abu-Jamal was denied a new trial and faces state execution. In August, Michigan prisoners protested conditions and organized a day of solidarity. We air this information both to expose the conditions within America's dungeons and to promote the growth of legal organizations against oppression by prisoners and outside supporters. Following the peaceful protest, MIM learned that certain leaders had been transferred because of their legal political activities. MIM provides support and leadership to prisoners in part, providing material for political education study groups. These study groups are essential aspects of the struggle to improve conditions and to end the system built upon slavery, repression, and exploitation. We urge allies on the outside to step up their support for MIM's Serve the People Free Books for Prisoners program. This program provides material necessary for prisoners to educate one another and to prepare themselves against attacks by the state, such as the separation of leaders from the general population of the prison or their comrades. The announcement of the Prisoners' Day of Solidarity was delayed in arriving to MIM's hands. Since then, an outside supporter informed MIM that the Day of Solidarity consisted primarily of prisoners peaceably educating one another, walking in the yard, and refusing some activities as they demonstrated their unity. The statement of the Michigan prisoners follows. We, prisoners at Mound Correctional Facility, 17601 Mound Road in Detroit, Michigan, will be demonstrating a peaceful protest on August 3, 1999. This protest is against the administration and its failures to operate this institution in the standard and efficient manner that it is supposed to. The imprisoning rate is at an all-time high and steadily increasing. It is not hard at this particular time to find many members in the community who have family, friends, and loved ones in prison. Issues affecting the prison population are issues affecting the community as well. Anytime you have money being stolen from prisoner's account, it is more likely money sent from a family member, friend, or loved one, all of which are members of the community. When you have prisons where there's an absence of rehabilitation program, social development programs, and job marketing skills programs, you are looking at a community problem because it's prisoners who are going to be returning to the communities from whence they came. Prisoners unable to find decent employment to sustain themselves and provide their basic necessities will be forced to find other means that are probably illegal. This is definitely a community issue because prisoners can either return as viable assets or as dangerous liabilities. In any event, we thank you for taking the time to review this missive and our outline of issues that we are demonstrating against. The Michigan prisoners explain their Prisoners' Day of Solidarity. Prisoners' Day of Solidarity is a day that all prisoners in the Mound Correctional Facility will use to show and demonstrate unity amongst ourselves, and is a collective stand against their oppressive conditions, ineffective administration, and overall failure to operate in a functional capacity to which an institution of this nature is supposed to. There are a number of issues affecting the prison population at large. Listed below are a few of those that have had catastrophic effect. Yet, as serious as these issues are, they can be rectified with little time and energy. Healthcare and services is the first. Medical care at this facility is obsolete. Prisoners are denied pain relief medication for injuries, whether internal or external, and we are denied simple medications for seasonal cold and allergy symptoms. For example, since the opening of this facility, the healthcare unit has distributed the same red and yellow pills and tablets to inmates and officers regardless of the symptoms, and we're told that these pills are multi-purpose, as if they're vitamins, but they're simple decongestant and antihistamines. Whenever someone has a cold, allergy, fever, sinus nasal problems, sore throat, upset stomach, or ear infections, hay fever, or swollen red eyes, the healthcare unit distributes these same pills. This is ignorant, inhumane, and unacceptable. It must stop immediately. Any healthcare system which should be adequately stocked with symptom-securing medications and not just one or two pseudo and generic forms. We are denied thorough and adequate examinations for medical concerns. We are denied efficient emergency medical response, which we are supposed to and they are required to give us. Instead of diagnosing prisoners on an individual basis, the nurses erroneously assume that every prisoner that comes to the health care is crying wolf, and they make no attempt to hide this belief while they belittle and attack patients who rack with pain. The business office and accounting system is the second problem. Here at Mound Correctional Facility, money has been stolen or misappropriated by poor management on more than one occasion, which has resulted in the prisoner's benefit fund being in debt of tens of thousands of dollars. Because of this unchecked robbery and mismanagement, the prisoner's benefit fund was and is expected to be corrected at the prisoner's expense. This is done by the raising of store prices that are already too high to begin with, and it forces us, because there's no other option, to buy into our own exploitation. The prisoner's store prices are too high, and many of the products are useless. The pens, for example, are unable to spit enough ink out to write a one-page letter, and the televisions are lucky to last 6 months. There also are a number of cases in which money has come up missing from prisoners' accounts. Upon making orders with outside vendors, the business office is entirely too leisurely with the process. There is never any certainty that when making orders that the money has actually been taken out of the accounts and has been sent to the intended vendor or other desired destination. In fact, this is the only facility in the Michigan Department of Corrections that takes at least 3 months to receive ordered items. This also happens to be the only facility in the Michigan Department of Corrections where the Prisoner's Benefit Fund doesn't have the necessary finances to purchase microphones, speakers, and other necessary instruments for programs, whether put on by the prisoners or done by outside volunteers and guests. Food services is the third issue. Recently, there's been a change in the serving software. The bowls and plates have been exchanged with a serving tray that has served the purpose of cutting the rations of food down considerably. Sanitation is another factor here. On most occasions, because of the shape of the trays, they are difficult to clean properly. In any other facility where these particular trays are used, they are used with the inserts just to secure sanitation. There must be an end to the usage of these trays, or at the very least, slot inserts must be provided for trays. Over the last couple of months, there have been major inconsistencies in the running of the chow lines. Either the units are called too close to one another, or the units are called too far apart. When units are called too close together, we get overcrowded and have to wait outside. When units are called too far apart, it cuts into our yard time. This too needs to be rectified. Programs is the fourth issue. It is estimated that 72% of all prisoners that are released from prison will return to prison within 3 years as a result of new charge or parole violation. When looking at the Mound Correctional Facility, you can see exactly why the recidivism rate is so high. Here, there are no rehabilitation programs, there are no social development programs, and there are no job marketable skills programs. On a number of occasions, there have been attempts to have male responsibility programs, and all were denied using the excuse of not having a qualified teacher. Yet they don't provide us with the means of attaining a teacher certificate, which is all that we would need to be so qualified. Outside volunteers have attempted to do alternative ministries, and non-Islamic or Christian-centered ones are turned away. Volunteers have attempted to come in and teach drug rehabilitation and other programs, and they were denied. There are no job marketable skilled programs here that will state certify a prisoner, enabling him to successfully enter the job market in society with the skills necessary to meet whatever the requirements are in common labor markets. Without these skills that are necessary to secure decent jobs, there is no doubt that released prisoners who are super exploited will more than likely return to crime or extra legal means to not only support themselves, but in many cases support their families who depend on them. We must have some real and concrete programs, unlike the fake ones provided in the past. We need something to help better our development, our rehabilitation, and increase our chances of success after we are released. What we want. 1. We want the negligence of the healthcare unit to end. We want thorough examinations and appropriate medications for the many different illnesses and sicknesses that we encounter during our incarceration. We also want for the healthcare unit personnel to carry and conduct themselves in a professional manner, regardless of how they feel or what they think. This isn't personal and shouldn't be taken as such. We want the business office to run more efficiently and to be held accountable when it's not. The failure to manage the prisoner's benefit fund and prisoner accounts has to stop. We want for the prisoner's orders to vendors, publications, etc. to be processed in a much more timely manner. The store prices must come down to a reasonable marker. The old products can no longer be sold to prisoners and must be discarded. And we must be allowed visits to the store on some kind of rotating schedule to allow fairness, to ensure fairness. 3. We want for the food service lines to run more effectively. There is no reason why prisoners should be lined up outside the chow hall waiting for their meals, nor should meals run into yard time and yard activities. We want for the serving trays to be discarded and the standard bowls and plates to go back into usage, or at the very least, implement the usage of inserts into the serving trays as used at other facilities. 4. We want social development programs, programs that are designed to empower individuals with healthy values and views that are essential in productive human beings, programs that will instill a sense of responsibility while providing the impetus to make a positive change and betterment of our lives. We want one or more job marketable skills programs that will prepare prisoners for employment. We must have something that will prepare us for the outside. This is a protest against the above-stated issues. We have tried to deal with these issues by way of the Warden's Forum, only to no avail. This Warden's Forum is no longer effective in representing us on this matter. This is a demonstration of the collective will of the entire prison population. This is a peaceful protest, however. If what we want is ruled out as being unacceptable, then the collective will of the entire prison population will see to it that these above-stated objectives are reached. A Michigan Prisoner, written in July of 1999. The Maoist Internationalist Movement encourages prisoners to continue writing to MIM and to work with us to expose prison conditions. Getting your words out to educate and convince more people to become internationalist is essential. The gain of previous prisoner rebellions are often lost over time. This will continue as long as America is the imperialist warmongering country that it is. The system of imperialism, national oppression, and prisons for profit and social control must be abolished. We can achieve some improvements by standing up and putting forward demands, but the imperialist pigs will continue to reinstate their means of control at the next opportunity. Our work must be toward ending of the entire system of imperialism.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.